Hello, and welcome to this episode of the Magical Learning Podcast. Today, we're talking to Kanika Chopra, who is talking to us about the power of fiction. Kanika is an amazing person with a lot of insight in this area, has a lot of expertise in this area, and beyond that, our whole team loves fiction, so this was a really good conversation. If you're not sure about fiction or you just want to dip your toes in, this is also a great conversation. So enjoy and have a magical week. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Magical Learning Podcast for this week. This week is a very exciting one because not only do we have a guest, but it's someone who works at Magical Learning. So that's very exciting, and we'll get into that shortly. But first, let's check in on the team and see how they are going. So, John, how are you going this week?
Week's been really, really busy with a lot of stuff with wife's work and other things that are happening around the house. I've been painting again, so... But this morning I've also been making carrot cakes and Anzac biscuits and choc chip biscuits, and I've got to do truffles a bit later on for daughter's baby shower on Sunday.
That's amazing.
I was going to say, when are we coming to visit? That sounds delicious.
Good work, John. We're excited to see the paintings, and maybe if there's an image of the food at some point, we'd check that out.
Mm.
Happy to send it through. I'll take
some shots. Yeah, awesome. Thanks, John. Graham, how are you going this week?
Hey, Jesse, I'm good. Not 100% today, but it's as John said, it's been a pretty full-on week. I'm impressed, John. I'm seriously impressed. Can you just shoot like a dozen chalky crackles our way, please? I'll happily pay for the freight.
I'll go for a walk and you can see.
Just painter extraordinaire.
Oh, this is good.
This is good. Settled?
If you're watching, if you're listening to this and you want to see what they look like, jump on our Spotify and you'll be able to watch the video of this. Look at that.
Nice.
Beautiful.
They look delicious.
Betty looks you, like she's about to cry because she can't have any.
I know.
Can you maybe whip up a batch of lazy Anzac cookies, John, in your spare time, please?
That's them. That's part of it. Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
The Anzac biscuits.
I wasn't paying it. I just saw some choc chip thing. Oh, there. Right. Okay. I'll stop now.
They go all right. Ooh.
Well, that's not fair. Jess, can we evict him from the podcast?
Only if he sends us extra biscuits, then.
Oh, dear. Anyway, I'm good, Jess. Thanks.
Nice.
After all that.
Danette, how are you going today? This week, sorry.
Yeah, good, Jez. I've had a really good week, and actually no classes this week, interestingly. Done a bit of mentoring. And yesterday I read a book cover to cover, sitting out in the sun watching the girls. Such a good book too. So I will do a video for our video book reviews on that one.
Beautiful. What book was it so people can keep an eye out for it?
Is Why 10X is Better Than 2X.
Oh,
really interesting. Yeah. Anyway, we'll talk more about it when I do the video book review.
Awesome.
And how about the two of you? How's your week
well,
been?
I think this week's been pretty good. I did some stand-up, which went pretty well. And other than that, I've actually had a pretty free week this week, which has been pretty good. So I've been able to catch up on some other stuff. And Kanika, how have you been this week?
I've been tired this week. I had a really long week last week. And so by the time I flew back in on Monday, I was in Sydney over the weekend. I was exhausted and I'm just excited it's the weekend now. Because it's the first proper weekend in 2 weeks.
Share with everyone what you're in Sydney doing. Because Kanika's an amazing person. Mm-hmm. So today's topic's awesome, but she does lots of other things other than just work with ML.
Mm-hmm. That is true. This weekend I was in Sydney because I am the artistic co-director of the National Young Writers Festival. So we had to go and have a little meeting to see what we're going to have the festival look like this year.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay, I'll hand back to you, Jez. I just did my little bit.
Well, I mean, as you mentioned, I think that segues perfectly into what we're going to be talking about today, which is the power of fiction. But before we get into that, Kanika, tell us a little bit about who you are, what you've been doing, I guess, especially recently, that is relevant to this, but also like a little bit about yourself.
Well, other than working for Magical Learning, I also write sometimes. And I also curate and edit a little literary publication that sort of spotlights like marginalized people and artists. And I am currently working on issue 3 of my publication. It's called More Than Melanin. And this is my first issue that's been funded by grants. So I got 2 grants to make this issue, which is very exciting. And it's launching soon. So that's kind of what I do outside of Magical Learning. I also teach kids creative writing like once a week. So yeah, very writering-y kind of.
And an avid reader, work. I think it's fair to say.
And an avid reader, mostly of fiction.
Awesome. Well, today,
as well as helping us on our social media, because we should also say social media, that's Kanika.
Yeah. I mean, I have a background in comms and I have a master's in creative writing and literature. So it's a good mix.
And the links to get a copy of More Than Melanin issue 3 are going to be in the description. So you can go have a look at the description there. This one is also a comedy zine. So there's going to be some good jokes. It's going to be a fun one. It's about the end of the world.
Yeah, the theme is the end of the world.
So it's a really good one. I've got a little sneak peek and it's really good. So I recommend it for everybody out there. So today we're going to be talking about the power of fiction, which is a really fun topic. I think it's something that is appropriate to not only people that are doing things similar to Kanika, but it's appropriate for everybody. We all consume fiction a lot of the time. So I might just jump straight in with Danette. What was your question and tell us about why you picked it?
I'm often known as asking more than one question. So I'll start with the first one. My question is, how does fiction help in both business and life? And I like this, picked the question because it was really about fiction isn't just something that we read and can go away. It can have impacts in various areas. So I thought with your background, Kanu, that it would be really interesting to hear your thoughts on that one.
I think everyone has like a book or a film or something that they consumed when they were young that they saw themselves reflected in, whether it was like a film, a movie, a show, a book, you know. And I remember the first time I read a book that I saw myself in. I remember the first time I watched a movie and I saw myself in. So I think it's really important to sort of in like your formative years, help you build an identity. You know, you relate to something, you relate to someone. It can also set a standard for someone you might want to be when you grow up, or some kind of person, or some, I guess, some traits you'd want to achieve based off of what you've seen or read or heard. And I think it also shows us a lot of people don't know how emotion works, how emotion feels. That's not something we're sort of taught in like our families or in school or in life. And I think that fiction is really good for that. You can see how different feelings would manifest. You can feel those feelings with the characters in them. Therefore, like, I think it contributes to empathy, you know, and not only empathy in like, I guess, like an emotional sort of stance, but like also if you're from one culture, you know, and like it helps you open up like your mind. Like they say, a reader lives 1,000 lives, like a reader of fiction, like you live 1,000 lives, or you can travel the world just like literally not leaving like your home. So I think you can take what you want from it and apply it how you see fit. Like I think it works the same way in life as it does in business. You know, if you read a book about someone, or like it's a story about like something happening in a workplace or someone trying to achieve something, you can really pick and choose what you take from it and how you apply it in your real life. So
nice, great answer. So then I'm going to ask my second one, which sort of doesn't really follow, but I'm curious for you, what makes good fiction?
I think also what makes good fiction is so subjective.
Yeah.
And I read everything from like really trashy romance novels to like really highbrow, like experimental literary fiction. And I think what I enjoy about it is. When I'm reading fiction, the reason I don't do audiobooks is because I write. And so the craft of the writing is important to me. And you can only get that when you're actually reading it and not listening to audiobooks. So I guess like the craft, the syntax, how they've chosen to word something, how what they've chosen to compare a certain nuance or emotion to, analogies, things like that. So obviously that's like a craft, but that's like a very technical thing. That's not something most people think of. I guess also the narrative, so the story itself, how unique it is. But also I love fiction that's really comforting. You know, sometimes you just want to read something that's formulaic and like feels comfortable and you don't have to use your brain too much. So I think anything that you want to like scratch your brain. So like I said, I read so much that I don't mind bad, like what would be classified, I guess, in the literary world is bad or cheap fiction. It doesn't matter to me because sometimes that's just what you want. You know, it's yep. like food. Sometimes you want to eat like a bunch of vegetables. Sometimes you just want McDonald's.
Yep. Or it's chocolate.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, I might jump onto John's question. So, John, what was your question and tell us about why you chose it?
Yeah, no, I like the fact that when Danette asked that question about what makes good fiction, you saw, Kaneki, you actually sat forward into the microphone, the passion suddenly there, and it's like, wow, you, yeah. No, that was cool. So my question is, young people spend a lot of time gaming. They will seem to spend a lot of time gaming, and maybe it's just I'm old-fashioned, but, you know, how do you bring or how can we use those mediums of computers and gaming to create greater interest in fiction and reading and writing? Because, yeah, we, you know, sitting on a game is one thing, and I like that tangible book, but, yeah, how do we do that?
I am personally not a gamer. I didn't grow up playing games at all. No consoles, nothing. I think the first time I like actually touched a console was when like Jez had one in like my whole life. I'm just not a gamer. So I don't get it. But all my friends are gamers here. And I also, in my degree, we studied just narrative. And gaming is actually like an important medium of narrative. It is also, it depends obviously the games you're playing, if you're just playing a shooter game, if you're playing an adventure game, but those are also narrative based and fiction based, but it's kind of like a choose your own adventure. Yeah. And it has proven to help people think critically, expand imaginations and stuff like that. And in the writing world as well, writing plots for video games is like a business. It's like a whole thing you can do. And when you watch like, I guess another, but you can bring people into reading where like if you, like, for example, The Last of Us was a video game, which I only learned when the actual show came out. But apparently it was a very popular video game. But I watched the show. So like things like that are being turned into shows. I think it's not too far a step from getting people to read things like that. Because if someone likes that kind of narrative building, you know, where it's got a certain like type of conflict or it's got zombies. So whatever is attracting someone to a certain kind of game, you can find fiction that would do the same thing for them. But they might also really enjoy the interactive aspect of it, which you don't necessarily get in a book.
Yeah. No, I agree. Cool. Thank you.
No worries.
Awesome. Thanks, John. Graham, I might throw to you. What was your question and tell us a bit about why you chose it?
Thanks, Jez. So I think I was probably still in a glass half empty sort of headspace when I came up with this question. But given all of the hype around artificial intelligence at the moment, there was an artist in Europe somewhere a couple of months back who won an award for an artwork and then had to hand the award back because he didn't create the artwork. AI did. So, yeah, I'm just curious on whether you've sort of given much thought to how AI might impact the creation of new works of fiction. And the follow-up question that was, you know, does it matter at the end of the day if somebody reads a piece of a book of fiction or a work of fiction and they enjoy it, doesn't matter who or what created it. John said before, he's a little old-fashioned. I'm just plain old. So the idea of reading something created by a computer and enjoying it, part of me just doesn't want to believe that that's possible. Probably is. So, yeah.
It's a very good question. Jez and I have actually been talking about, like, I guess the ethics of AI and, like, writing or creation, because as we know, there's, like, all these, like, actor, like, and writer strikes happening in the US at the moment because they're trying to replace a lot of, then they're trying to skimp on, like, paying people because of AI. My personal thoughts on AI is that it'll never truly capture, like, human emotion, you know, because everyone feels emotion differently. So how one person might feel or react to anger or grief is not how another person might feel or react, like, to anger or grief. So I think what AI won't be able to do, at least I haven't tested this theory, but what I don't think AI will be able to do is, even if a story is really simplistic, like a movie or a book is really, really simplistic, and it's just about, like, someone and their neighbor and a lawn dispute, you know, like something as simple as that. Like, I don't think AI would be able to capture the nuance of that, or like how, or like rationalize, or like, I guess, even talk about how feelings of discomfort or love or annoyance come through that small thing, because like humans, like, perceive it differently. And this was a funny picket. So since everyone's picketing in the US, this was a funny sign that I saw one of the writers hold up saying AI doesn't have trauma to create the kind of content humans can, which I thought was really funny and accurate. But going back to, what if AI creates a piece of fiction? So this is how I look at it. Back then, back in like the early 2000s and stuff, there was a series of shows like Your Criminal Minds, Your Mentalist, White Collar. And when I was watching that, I was in my teens. And those shows are very formulaic. There's always like, obviously, like, good guys, or like good guy with a bad edge, like working for the cops, you know, crime is committed, this person's brought in, crime is solved, or like then there's like a bit of conflict and then crime is solved. And then there's also sort of a formula that like arches over the season where there's like one big nemesis that always comes up in the last two episodes just before the season finale. And then only like five seasons in will that narrative close, you know? So these are really, really formulaic shows. Like, there's seven seasons of Criminal Minds. And like, I was 16 when I watched it and I'm just like, I'm already bored by the first season because we're just doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, just with like different problems. Because like, narratives and fiction have formulas, especially something that's like so mainstream. So I think AI would be good at creating things like that. Like, that's already happening. Like, we watch Netflix now and like they're just pushing out things that people find popular and comforting. So yeah, I think AI will definitely do that or be able to do that. Like, but like I said, like, if we think of this in like a food-based analogy, like, it's like fast food, you know, like after a big night, sometimes you just want to get McDonald's, and that's okay. But it's also not going to be good for your soul. Like, long term, it's not going to be good for your health.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I view it. And in terms of like, should it matter? Honestly, that's each to their own, you know, because there's like that whole argument as well, where we've learned now as time has come that like a lot of artists themselves that are really famous are really problematic. And then there's the question, do we separate the art from the artist? You know, like, should you be listening to the music of someone who's like really like anti-fascist, like very fascist or like anti-Semitic, like, you know? So I guess, again, whether you enjoy it or not is a personal choice. Like I said, I read a lot of rubbish as well, like a lot of bad books, and those are very formulaic, and there are lots of like grammatical problems or narrative problems in them, but that doesn't mean I'm not having a good time
when
I'm reading it. So again, this is like a personal choice, but that's how I feel about what I think AI created content would be like, because it wouldn't capture the human experience.
Yeah Cool, thank you. So, which also leads me to wonder out loud, which usually is not a good thing to do, whether John's Kitchen is actually a piece of fiction and AI created the cookies.
Honestly.
And because we can't taste them, we can't experience it, it's really hard to tell.
Yeah, I mean, it is also on a screen. John could have fully pre-recorded this whole interaction, and we're probably just looking at a screen in front of a camera.
Absolutely, none of it's real.
Not actually, John.
No, but I'll just enjoy it.
Just like my entire life is a work of fiction. I can live with that. Thanks, Kanika.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thanks for that. Great question, Graham, and great answer, Kanu. All right. Well, I'll jump into my question because we're talking about the power of fiction. And fiction isn't just consuming it, it's also writing, and I think that can have an effect on people. So my question is, what can writing fiction do for the person that's actually writing it?
Drive you mad is my first response. There is a meme, I don't know if you guys would want to know, but it's just like people who read, and it's just someone sitting in a beautiful sunlit garden reading a book. And then the side by side photo of it is people who write. And it's just this sort of golem looking person in a dark room with papers strewn all around them. I am attempting to write a sort of like YA, which is young adult, like sort of like vampire novel. And it's really hard. Like, I feel like I need like a giant whiteboard to see all my thoughts at once in case I forget any of them. Because like, I've made notes, I can write things down, but it doesn't really compute. Because writing fiction is hard, especially writing good fiction is hard, because you have to have like, say you have a character that you say is like aggressive or jealous. You can't just like say that. You have to kind of prove it like through your character's actions throughout the book, you know, like, so what you're displaying your character has, there has to be sort of consistency. There has to be a logical follow through. So anyway, writing fiction is hard. That's all I really have to say about it. I don't know what else to tell you. It's just hard.
Not a glowing review there. Writing. Use AI, I think, is the takeaway.
I mean, write fiction if you want to, but I'm just going to say that Jez has always told me this, like when you're really into something, your taste and your skill are very different. So I would say my taste and my skill are not at the same level. That's why this is always really hard for me to talk about, because I know what really good writing is, and mine is not that.
So, Jez, maybe your question should have been, what can writing fiction do to the person actually writing it?
Yes, it can give you many a complexes. I also just like walk around the house talking to myself sometimes, because like you have to be many different people.
So you can turn into Gollum is basically
that's basically it. I would have loved to give you guys like a smart answer, but there is none for me on my end. I'm just like, it's hard. Writing fiction is hard.
Is it okay to be walking around the house talking to yourself when you're not writing a piece of fiction?
Absolutely. I do that.
Thank God for that. Thank you.
It's when you answer that becomes a problem.
But then I'd get into an argument because my answer's never the right one.
All right. Well, we've got two more quick questions here. Alan's question was sort of similar to Danette's, but I guess this is just like from a slightly different perspective, which is, what are some simple benefits we get from fiction, looking at it from the point of view of a busy person who may not have much spare time and wants to use their time wisely? So say I'm assuming that this question's coming from the perspective of someone who really doesn't read a lot of fiction and goes, I understand that has benefits. How can I slot it into my life? What's some easy ways to approach fiction like that?
First of all, I'm a firm believer that anyone can enjoy reading. They just have to find the right thing to read. And there's so much of it. And I'm a big believer that also if people don't like reading, start off with a short story. There's like, you can just like read one on the internet or just like borrow a book from a library or someone, which is just a collection of short stories. So you're not committing to a whole novel. You're committing to 20 pages. You know, it's like you sit down for like 30 minutes and read like a full narrative, which I found helpful when I've tried to get people to read. I've just been like, here's a collection of short stories. And again, in a collection of short stories, you never have to like all the stories. You can skip them. You know, there's no shame in that. I also feel like people should stop feeling weird about like not finishing a book, because I know a lot of readers are just like, I started it. I'm like about 60% of the way and I have to finish it, even if I hate it. And I'm just like, that's a waste of everyone's time. Like, it's supposed to be pleasurable. Why are you torturing yourself? Don't do that. So those are my feelings on reading. Like, if you don't like something, stop and start and just like read something short and sweet and something. And like, if you don't like it, you don't like it. I try something else. There's like an amazing amount. And worst case scenario, you can't find anything you like, type in a story you want to read and have ChatGPT write it for you.
Jeez, can we edit that response from the podcast? The Australian Society of Authors are on the phone. They want to have a chat.
No, that's a joke. I've also like used ChatGPT, and ChatGPT's vocabulary is awful.
Also, apparently, it's apparently ChatGPT is getting dumber because they're starting to get sued for using people's work that they like to input into it. Like, Sarah Silverman's suing them right now for using her work without her consultation or getting any reimbursement, so they might have to like remove that part of ChatGPT, and if that happens, then they'll have to sort of remove a lot of people's work that they never got authorization to put into the computer. But anyway,
I wonder whether ChatGPT is getting dumber because it's just interacting with more humans.
That's probably definitely true as well. I would definitely say that is true. Awesome. And I think this is a great final question from Marg. We've talked a little bit about what issue 3 is going to be about, but what made you want to start your own magazine?
I found the Australian literary landscape not diverse enough. I found that my experience at university was a bit tainted by the fact that my stories were not valid or were sort of diminished because white people didn't understand them. So, I was just like, and also there's no money in the arts field. Everyone's overworked and underpaid. And I also just like any place I worked at, more than like plenty of like literary publications were happy to have me as a free intern. And I was like, if I'm working for free, I might as well do it for myself and create something that I'd want to see, that I think this doesn't exist in the literary landscape in this country. So that's why I kind of did it. I just wanted there to be a place where people of color and queer people could kind of like come write about things without like having to only talk about trauma and like tokenize themselves as like a beacon of diversity, you know, just be like, where like a publication's being like, look at us, look how progressive we are. We're having like a person of color come and trauma dump like in our publication. Like, why can't people of color just write stupid things if they want to? Like, why do like all of them have to like tokenize themselves? So that was why I kind of started it, because I was not happy with what I was seeing around me.
Amazing. Yes. we definitely recommend people go check out the link and grab a copy. There's 3 issues also of More Than Melons. You might be able to get one of the old ones as well. A lot of fun features in there. The last scene, for people that may not have picked it up yet, had like a story, and then there was all these QR codes at the bottom that added different elements to it. There's a lot of very cool interactive elements, I feel like, in More Than Melons. So definitely recommend people go check that out. But before we wrap up today, we'll grab some final thoughts from everybody. So, John, any final thoughts about the power of fiction or today's conversation?
I've loved the conversation, and very much one of your last comments reminded me that, you know, Gandhi's saying, "Be the change you want to be in the world, you want to see in the world," and you're living that. which is, yeah, I think it's phenomenal, which is fantastic.
Awesome. Thank you, John. Graham, any final thoughts on the power of fiction or today's conversation?
No, like John, really appreciate the opportunity to chat with everyone with Kanu about this. We could talk about this for 20 years, I think, and still not cover everything. It's been good. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Graham. Danette, any final thoughts on today's conversation, The Power of Fiction?
Yeah, great conversation. Couple of things. So I have both copies that have already been released. They're amazing. Can't wait for number 3. And I would also like to acknowledge, you know, and pretty much everyone in the organisation does more than one thing, and that a lot of workplaces don't see that that's possible. And what Kanika just displayed is how much value she brings to us through all of the other things that she does outside of what she does for Magical Learning. And I think that's come, you know, we did part-time a couple of weeks ago with Belinda. It's yet recognising that everyone has these amazing talents. Kanika's is around creative writing, fiction, creating amazing zines. It's so beautiful to demonstrate this, you know, through someone that works for us. We're very blessed. And one time we're going to have to move Jez from host, and we're going to have to interview Jez around his comedy and stuff too. Mm. So I'm sure, Kanika, we will have you back again. And I just love the fact that, you know, fiction's awesome. I love fiction. I like trashy. I like really good stuff. And it does help us with life and business. So I think it's a great conversation, and thank you both for picking it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm prepared if by any chance, like ever, like a portal opens and I'm sucked into a fantasy world. I've been preparing for this my whole life.
I love it.
It'll be fun.
You're actually, this is that fantasy world.
We should do that as a podcast topic. How much fun would that be?
Yeah, like theoretically, I can survive in a lot of fantasy. Like, I know the rules of a lot of that.
Awesome. And before we go, Kanika, is there anything that you have any final thoughts on today's conversation or the power of fiction?
I really enjoyed having this chat with you guys. I honestly loved your question, Graham. I thought that was a very interesting question and very exciting. And it's something Jez and I have been talking about for a while now, because I feel like our lives in the arts world are directly impacted by things like this. But also it's something I feel like we can't control. It's here, and it seems like it's here to stay. I think the question is, how do we move forward and work with it, or use it to our advantage and not the other way around, even though it's quite depressing, but like, we can't control it. It's here, you know.
How can Criminal Minds make their next season in 20 seconds, you know?
Like Criminal Minds is like those shows of that era, very similar, so formulaic, it might as well be written by AI. But yeah, thank you guys for having me. I love working here because it gives me time to do all these other things, and I have all the support from all of you guys to do it. And I really liked having this talk. I really like talking about fiction. Yeah. So,
and I agree with what Kanika's saying. Now, if you have enjoyed this conversation, obviously you can go check the links below to check out the zine, grab a copy of the 3rd issue, which should pretty much be out end of August.
No, it's out August 11th.
Yeah, so it'll be out. Great. To everybody listening at home, I hope you've enjoyed this. Continue sharing it. It's great. We're seeing great numbers. And also, obviously, jump on Spotify to see John's biscuits in the early stage of this. We have the video uploaded there. But otherwise, enjoy your week and have a magical week.